I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's brand new, season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeira. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Hour three of Follow the Money. This show is cruising. Stormy Bonantoni and the Super Bowl champ, Sean King, with us. Hopefully, we'll be able to get our guy Clint Hurdle on the line. But in the meantime, when we had Roman Harper on, we ran out of time. I wanted so badly to talk to him about the NFC South, his previous teams, the Saints, and of course the Panthers, but your previous team as well. So let's talk that NFC South division. Your Buccaneers, the favorite yet again, big shocker with Tom Brady making his return. But with Panthers training camp opening up today, all eyes are going to be on this quarterback race between Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield. In my opinion, Baker has the edge. You don't trade for this guy unless you want him to come in and take that lead job. How do you think that these reps are going to get divided? Who has the lean in your mind?
Well, I mean, well, I don't even know why. Sam Darnold's a backup.
Right?
Yeah, Sam Darnold's been in the league since 18. He's never even thrown 20 touchdowns in a season.
He had three good games to start the year last season for the Panthers, and that was all.
The one consistent thing about Sam Darnold, you know he's going to throw double-digit interceptions. 15, 13, 11, 13 in his 4 years. So I don't even know why you would waste time putting on the facade like it's a competition when Baker actually needs the reps because it's a new system, it's new teammates. You already have such a limited amount of time on the practice field now compared to when I played, you know, because of the way that the CBA operates. If they want to have any chance of success, to me, Baker gets all the reps because he needs them. Like, Sam's been there. This is going on. He's had two full off seasons. He hadn't done enough to make you feel like you didn't need to go get Baker. So now that Baker's there, give Baker the best chance to be successful by giving him the reps he needs.
Well, and I feel like because of the way we all just think recency bias and the way that things ended last season with the Browns, so many people are down on Baker Mayfield. You forget how horrific the Browns were to watch for years and years and years, and he helped them rise from the ashes and get them back to the playoffs. The interceptions thing, though, Baker's touchdown interception ratio significantly better.
Oh, absolutely.
But
92-56 over his career.
But interceptions themselves, I thought this was super interesting because these were the top two quarterbacks together in the 2018 draft, went 1 and 3 respectively with Baker and Darnold. But there are also 1-2 for the most interceptions thrown in that time since being drafted. Sam Darnold leading the way, but Baker right there as well. Matt Rhule said he's not making the quarterback decision, that on the field, that will make the decision, quote, when we know, we know. And maybe it's sentiment like that. That's why on offshore books, if you look at the betting odds for the first coach to be fired, that Matt Rhule is right there at 3-1.
Yeah, and a lot of it's because he don't know what he's doing at quarterback. And it's evidence.
I hate that there are odds for things like that.
Well,
but
well, here's the thing, Stormy. It's evidenced by the fact that they keep changing their mind. And it's not me being overly critical. It's just based on his resume since he's been in Carolina tells me that's not his strength. He needs to hire somebody to handle the quarterback position. When they first got there, it was Teddy Bridgewater. And then they decided that we can win games with Bridgewater, but we can't be this aggressive team that throws the ball down the field. So they got rid of Teddy Bridgewater, brought Sam Darnold in, paid him before he'd ever done anything to deserve getting the extension, gave up on him before midseason year one, then spent all offseason trying to acquire Deshaun Watson. That didn't work. Drafted a quarterback in a year where they didn't even have any picks because of the Sam Darnold trade, took a quarterback in the third round, Matt Corral, then went out and brought in Baker Mayfield before Matt Corral ever had a chance to play the game. So he's not good at evaluating that position. You might think he is, but the resume says no since he's been at the Panthers. So unless he gets somebody to come in and handle that part of the recipe, then I think he does get fired. Because if you don't have a quarterback, you don't really have a chance in this league. They're not good enough everywhere else to win in spite of the quarterback. We'll see if they give Baker a fair shot. And I said all of that about Matt Rhule because it's more alarming to me now that they just won't name Baker Mayfield a starting quarterback because he needs the reps. Mm-hmm. Like to be comfortable. Right. He's throwing to Robbie Anderson, DJ Moore. He's never thrown to them. He's trying to get a feel for Christian McCaffrey.
That is such a bright spot, though, that he's coming in week one healthy again.
Right, but it's such a completely different running back for him than Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt.
You're absolutely correct.
Because of the versatility of McCaffrey and him, you know, playing in space.
Swiss Army knife type of player, being a
primary wide receiver. So it takes time to get comfortable, you know, throwing those new looks. And you can't do it if you have 12 reps of red zone and you and Sam are splitting it 6-6.
Is there any value on the board in the NFC South? Obviously, Tampa is a -300 favorite. Okay, so tell me on New Orleans.
Michael Thomas is back. You're going to get Alvin Kamara back if he ends up getting suspended, which we still don't
know. We're playing the waiting game on a lot of player issues right now.
You get Jameis back, who looks completely healthy. A lot of people forget when Jameis got injured last year in the Bucs game, he had thrown 14 touchdowns with only three interceptions.
Yep.
You get Dennis Allen in a position where he's trying to prove that this organization, as great as Sean Payton is more than Sean Payton. You get basically the fourth-ranked defense back intact in their most senses. You added Jarvis Landry as another weapon. You drafted Chris Olave as another weapon. So components-wise, they got better.
And I think about a conversation topic that Dave Ross and I had yesterday in the NFC West, for example, was 49ers, can they compete with the Rams? Are they a legitimate challenger? And I was like, well, one thing I really like about San Francisco is that they have that head-to-head edge for whatever reason, and I know it didn't work out in the playoff game.
The Saints have owned the Bucs.
But yes, the Saints have owned the Bucs.
Yeah.
And that's your biggest competitor here, that if you handle your business and are able to continue to have that historical success against Tampa, I could see that.
And Carmichael stayed. And he's been with Sean Payton. He's offensive coordinator. He's been with Sean Payton for the last, I want to say, 12, 13 years. So if there's anybody that's capable of duplicating Sean's game day play calling, I think it's Coach Carmichael because it's been around him. He knows all his nuances, his mannerisms. So it won't be a lot of turnover scheme-wise, which is great for the players. So, you know, I think New Orleans is vastly, vastly undervalued in the markets.
I worry a little bit about the quarterback injury stuff with Jameis.
Well, they have Andy Dalton as the backup now. So if
that's a good security,
if Jameis
blanket,
was
yeah.
to go down, at least they have a competent guy that's played a lot of football. You know, I'm not crazy about the Red Rifle and it's my time, you know, from last year when he was in Chicago. But
that was such a weird – can right. we talk about, like, what a weird situation
yeah, that was?
That,
crazy.
Was
yeah.
that, like, he and Matt Nagy have, like, these side deals agreement. And promises.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not what you do.
But if something happened to Jameis, I feel more comfortable with him than Taysom Hill or what's the quarterback from Notre Dame that was called off the practice squad to start on like a Thursday night game? Ian Book, right? I feel better with Andy Dalton than having one of those guys come in the game.
That's a valid point. Tom Brady, 45th year of age, coming into yet another season, coming out of retirement. They obviously have some other pieces that they need to figure out, but because he re-signed, entice some other people to re-sign as well. So what's your outlook for Tampa long haul? Maybe not just in the division because they're a massive favor. We don't need to get into that side of things for them. But long haul when it comes to a conference championship, when it comes to representing the NFC in the Super Bowl, can they get there?
So this is my squad. As you know, I'm from St. Petersburg, Florida, which is the Tampa Bay area. I grew up a Buck fan. I used to sneak out of church when the Bucks played on the road. That's the only time that they would show the games locally because the NFL had the blackout rule. So, I mean, I played there. They drafted me. I don't know, Stormy. Like, I don't have a strong opinion on Tampa one way or another because I'm never going to go against an offense that has Tom Brady, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin will be back, and they added, you know, Gage from Atlanta. I'm never going against that group. But they lost Ndamukong Suh and Jason Pierre-Paul. So Vita Vea and Joe Tryon, they're two top selections the last couple years on the D-line. Now those guys have more snaps. They have to produce more than they have. You know, Levante David, great linebacker, year older. You know, that secondary, you know, Carlton Davis, I think they re-signed him, year older. So I like the Bucks. But I think there has to be a sense of urgency that they got to get it done this year. Because I don't think this is a team that's got a young nucleus that's on the come. It's going to be good for the next 4 or 5 years. Like, I feel like they have to get this done this year or that window, you know, could be closed. I didn't see Leonard Fournette, but I heard he showed up, mm-hmm. you know, slightly overweight. He made some fun of it on social media. So we'll see.
Speaking of that window closing, though, Tom Brady's age is always going to be a thing, but he already has a job in waiting at Fox after whenever his playing days are done.
It's a good
we can
life.
Never predict these things, but if this year doesn't go to plan, if you don't get that ring, does that mean he's going to want to try one more time, or is it the opposite? We're like, okay, we're probably, our window is closed.
I don't know. It's tough to say, you know, because I was surprised he walked away initially this year, but it was exciting because, like, he would have been the first great quarterback to ever leave on top. You know, Drew Brees, it kind of fell off. You know, Peyton, even
Big
though they
Ben,
won it,
what we saw
he
last
wasn't the
year.
Same. Yeah, Big. So Brady, 5,040 touchdowns.
Peyton did end on a Super Bowl win,
I know,
though.
But
I know it was different,
was defense,
but
yeah, he didn't look like the Peyton that we all know and love.
Well, we will get Clint Hurdle on the other side of this break and turn our attention to Major League Baseball. Still plenty more NFL coverage to come over the course of this final hour, but that was some good NFC South talk.
Yeah.
I love that division because if something crazy could happen, you never know. All right, don't go anywhere. More Follow the Money to come in just a little bit.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
My name is Johnny B. Goode, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Follow the money on VSEN, the sports betting network.
Ice-cold beers, cold hard cash. Join the action on the pitch with the Heineken 2022 Soccer Prediction Challenge. Compete in 20 free-to-play pools this season for your shot at a share of $100,000 in total cash prizes. Head to DraftKings.com/Heineken to start your run at victory. Heineken, beer made better. 21 and over only. Terms and conditions and other eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details, and please drink responsibly. Stormy Bonantoni and Sean King back at the desk. We welcome you back here to Follow the Money. The MLB second half getting underway, and this is when things start to really happen. It's going to happen fast and furious, Sean.
It is.
So excited to talk over some of what to expect from some teams here in the second half with Clint Hurdle, former Major League Baseball manager with the Rockies and Pirates, 2013 NL Manager of the Year, coming to us live from Florida. How's it going, Clint?
We're having a good day here. Hopefully you are as well.
Yes, it hasn't gotten too hot yet because it's still early out here on the West Coast. Listen, between your career as a player and as a manager, you've got experience with three of the five teams in the NL Central. So that's where I'd like to start, especially with that race at the top. The Brewers are the odds-on favorite, but the Cardinals not too far behind, just two games back. And if you look at their schedule, despite their struggles, the final two-thirds of their remaining schedule here are against teams with losing records. How do you think that their chances might be to overtake Milwaukee here in the second half?
Well, at the end of the day, there's a lot of different scenarios, Stormy, to always look at. There's a lot of different numbers you can grab. However, the team that pitches the best is going to win. And you look at the starting rotations first, then you look at the bullpens. You've got a trade deadline coming up where some people are putting on additions to their houses and some people are throwing down for sale signs in their front yard. I would think the Cardinals will make a run. I think the Brewers are the stronger team. And it shouldn't be that way. I don't think. The other teams, you know, there's a lot of other things going on in there. The NL Central is probably, this has probably been one of the weaker seasons for the NL Central. If you're playing in league games or in division games, I mean, you got three teams there that lose 90 to 100 games. So there's some easy pickings there. But if I'm going to stick my neck out, I'm going to go Brewers. I think the Cardinals will make a run. I just don't know if they got enough gas in the tank. And then there's that one door that you hear that little thump going on about where Soto is going to land. And that could help, obviously. I think the Cardinals are a team that may be in play for that.
You know, Clint, talk me through what ails the Brewers. I mean, you talk about pitching. I mean, they sit there with Burns and Woodruff, you know, two really quality top-of-the-rotation guys. They just invested in Lawyer, so obviously they believe in him and his long-term prospects. Great setup guy in Williams, great closer in Hader, yet they sit and they're still, I still feel like they're underachieving. Well, what's the missing component, you know, for this Milwaukee team?
Well, I think the missing component for any team that's still playing around 500 ball with the individual pieces they got to get hot. And normally getting hot comes with your consistency of overall play. Good pitching shuts down good hitting. You've never seen more big scores. You've never seen more to be Yelich. That hasn't really happened this year. There have been some nice guys that have been supplied supplemental value in that offense. McCutchen, one of my buddies, has come in. Telez has done a nice job. They continue to find their way. I still think at the end of the day, they got Suter. They got the left-hander. They've invested in Ashby, the young pitcher. They stretched him out. I think overall their pitching depth is better than the Cardinals. And truthfully, again, it just comes down. Sometimes it's not who you play, Sean. It's when you play them. And you can probably identify that with football. Sometimes you go and play that big ranked team and they're all banged up and you might catch a break. So, again, I'm not following the Brewers every day, but I'm kind of keeping an eye on them. I just think they haven't got hot yet, and they're looking for that hot streak. They played good ball. They played the best ball in the division. That's why they're up top. And I think they have the best 25-man roster today.
Clint Hurdle, former MLB manager alongside Stormy and Sean here on Follow the Money. I wanted to follow up on something you mentioned about the Cardinals and their potential to land a guy in Juan Soto. He is believed by many to have the Cardinals as the leader in the clubhouse right now. Is that a realistic deal you think could get done this year? Or if not, are the Cardinals still a team that is poised to make a move at the deadline, you think?
Well, the Cardinals have found ways to do things over the long haul. Johnny Moe was working as an assistant to Gebhardt back in the day when I was in Colorado in the early 90s. I've known John for a long time. A lot of tradition in that clubhouse, in that organization. You know, they've made two big moves in the last 5 years. They added Goldschmidt. They added Arenado. They make big moves when they're available to make them. They could do this. I don't think it would surprise me. There's always going to be one or two teams that are outliers that you don't hear something from, because most teams want the noise to be out there for their fan base. And whether it's the teams making the noise, more often not the agents making the noise to drum up the business, to leverage the opportunity for the player. I do think there's always a couple teams in my history that have worked under the wire, not making a lot of noise, and then trying to pull something off. Again, Soto would help. But right now, those two players, Goldschmidt and Arenado, two of the best players in the league, and they're still just battling to stay over 500. Molina's out. You know, they need Adam Wainwright to be the guy. They're playing without a couple of their pitchers who are still in the IL. They're trying to find their way back. So it would help. It still goes to pitching. It's always going to go to pitching, and which starting rotation can get hot, which bullpen can go ahead and start mixing and matching. And that's why I run back to the Brewers. Just they've been doing it.
You know, Coach, the Padres just took 2 of 3 from the Mets. You look at that rotation, Darvish rebound is having an exceptional year. Joe Musgrove is having a great year. They have Rodgers as the closer. When they get Fernando Tatis back, what does that do for their chances? And do you think they have what it takes? Because they were a team last year, a lot of people super high on, kind of fizzled after the All-Star break. With the return of Tatis, whenever that is, do they have enough, you know, in a really competitive National League to be the representative coming to World Series?
Well, they have enough. Now, to overtake the Dodgers, you know, that's the test. And that's what they want to do. You want to win the division. Wild cards are nice. But trust me, being in three of them, when you win it, it's awesome. When you lose it, it's horrible. It's one game. You've just played 162, and you throw it out there for one game. Back-to-back years in our wild card games in Pittsburgh, we ended up facing two Cy Young Award winners in 14 and 15. You know, Bumgarner got us in 14, Arrieta got us in 15. So it's rolling the dice. So you want to win the division? Tatis will help. They need that starting rotation to step up. Musgrove has been an add. Maybe their biggest addition was bringing Bob Melvin in for the hands at 10 and 2 throughout the season when things get rough. Because you're going to go through stretches where you don't play well. People do get hurt. You have to play without them. No one feels sorry for you. The Dodgers have set the bar very, very high. And that's their goal. You know, they're dealing with some in-house issues as well. How they finishing off ball games, is Kimbrel going to be the guy to get them where they want to go as well? But I do think the Padres have enough. I would hate to see them fall in the wild card spot, but if they do, wild card teams can go ahead and not just get in it, but then win it.
Yeah, Dodgers probably need to avoid being minus 300 favorites and losing to the Nationals if they can help it, because yes, they are built and projected to be one of those last men standing in representing in the World Series. If you had to pick the two teams that were going to be in that big series come October, who are the two that you would settle on?
Oh, that's a really good question. Well, you saw the Mets. They're getting dinged up now. They started off hot. The Yankees went through a stretch where they lost some games. Everybody's going to go through that stretch where just things aren't lining up. And you got to find your way to fight through it, to stay consistent, to stay steadfast, and not overreact. You don't overreact when you win 10 in a row. You definitely don't overreact when you lose a series or you lose a few games. Walking in that door, the Braves are starting to quietly make a move as well. The Dodgers got to be front runners. If I want to go, I don't like betting on the front runner. So I'm actually going to jump on the Braves bandwagon again. I'm going to take them and the Dodgers playing in the finals. And then I'm going to have the Dodgers beating them. So I guess I am going a front runner. And then in the AL, I think you got to look at my pick there is Houston. And I think the Yankees and Houston will match up somehow if they can match up at the end, but I'm going with Houston.
Yeah, and Houston did have the advantage over the Yankees so far here in the series. And we saw just to start the second half, winning both of those games to open up the second half. Thank you so much for the time.
Thanks, Cliff.
Appreciate you, Cliff.
You're welcome, Stormy. Thanks, John.
That's Clint Hurdle, former MLB manager, 2013 NL Manager of the Year, great playing career as well. Really, really good insight on where he views the league. And I like that. Don't go for the shortest shot, but maybe they are the favorite for a reason.
You know, sometimes the interviews are so short. I wanted to ask him so bad, what's going on defense in Major League Baseball? Like, I see more, like, unforced errors, I feel like, every day than I've ever seen. But great stuff by him. He likes Astros, Dodgers, World Series, huh? Hey.
They have had the Yankees number. I'm just saying, if that is ultimately what comes down to the ALCS, I don't know. Coming back, we'll turn the page back to the NFL. Mark Schofield, national NFL writer for USA Today. There's a lot of storylines in the league. He'll help us answer them.
Follow the money on VSEN, the sports betting network.
If you're looking for more sports betting discussion around your local teams, Bet Rivers has you covered. Bet Rivers has launched a series of CityCasts designed to tackle sports betting from the local perspective. We've got CityCasts in Chicago, Denver, Detroit, Los Angeles, New York, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, and now Washington, D.C. Subscribe to your local CityCast wherever you get your podcasts. Rolling along here on Follow the Money in downtown Las Vegas, Stormy Bonantoni and Sean King in for Mitch and Polly today. And with NFL training camps, officially all of them finally getting underway, we got a lot of NFL storylines, a lot of quarterbacks that I have question marks about. So to help us answer some of those questions, Mark Schofield, national NFL writer, USA Today, joins us on the line. Welcome in, Mark. And right off the hop, going to go into the hard questions here. Do we expect to get a decision on Deshaun Watson's suspension here this week? Or when are we? Because we've been playing the waiting game for so long.
Well, good morning, friends. Great to be with you. And I do think we are going to get that decision this week. You know, retired Judge Sue Robinson, she wanted the final submissions from both the NFLPA and from Watson's representatives the week of the 11th. And so it's been a couple of weeks. She has gotten those, obviously had the three-day hearing before Judge Robinson, and now with training camps opening, the reporter that I had seen and read on the past couple of weeks said that they were probably going to get a decision from Judge Robinson as camps opened. And so with camps getting underway this week, I would imagine that decision comes down this week. And then at that point, we'll have some clarification on what the Browns are looking at in terms of a suspension and whether they have to make another quarterback move. Because the way their schedule works out, the length of the suspension for Watson, if one comes down, and depending on how long it is, might determine if they ride into the season, stay with Jacoby Brissett, or if they make a corresponding move because of the way the suspension is handed down.
Mark, what about Alvin Kamara? We haven't heard, you know, exactly if or how long he will be suspended. Have you heard anything about the Saints running back?
We haven't heard anything on the Kamara front, and the reporting that I've seen in recent days makes me think we might not hear anything on that this season. With the way that process is unfolding, it's coming along a little bit slower. There's a potential here that Kamara does not see a suspension this year, and that gets kicked the 2023 season. And so that's another situation we're keeping an eye on. But sitting here right now, I think it might be another year before we hear any news on that front.
Very interesting. Yeah, we'll have to just follow those as they come. But for now, until we know more, we'll set that on the back burner and talk about things that we do know, which includes Kyler Murray officially signing that $230.5 million contract and a very interesting clause or addendum that became known yesterday and really spread on social media like wildfire, the 4 hours of required independent study per week. What kind of concerns does that raise about Kyler Murray and his preparation if the organization felt it was necessary to put that on paper and have him sign it?
Yeah, I mean, at first blush, you start to wonder, you know, is he putting the work in, because so much goes into the mental side of playing the quarterback position. You know, is he doing the things that he needs to do during the week in terms of installing the game plan, studying film, studying tendencies on the upcoming opponent, to put himself and put the Cardinals in the best position to win every Sunday and every given week. But at the same time, it was immediately, you know, Ian Rappaport, after putting that clause out there, immediately pointed out that, look, he does the independent film study. They just wanted to sort of get it in writing. It doesn't give you the warm and fuzzies, but you don't get to be an NFL starting quarterback if you're not doing the baseline level of work that I believe Kyler Murray is putting in each week. Now, of course, what we've seen in the past couple of years from the Arizona Cardinals is they start out hot, but then they fade sort of down the stretch. Last year, they get into the playoffs, but, you know, really looked almost unprepared, you might say, in that wild card loss to the Rams. And so the question is going to be, can Murray, can Cliff Kingsbury, can they avoid that sort of second half swoon we've seen from the Cardinals in recent years? That's the biggest question I have facing them. Murray is one of the game's elite talents at the quarterback position. They're surrounded by weapons. You know, we have the DeAndre Hopkins suspension, which we're waiting to hear on, because he continues to maintain that he did not, you know, ingest any sort of performance-enhancing supplement that he's talked about that he's facing a six-game suspension for. But can the Cardinals avoid that second-half swoon? That's what I'm going to be watching. Now, maybe a little bit more film study each week will help them avoid it, but that's what I'll be watching from Arizona.
I don't think there's ever been a precedent set like the Cardinals, you know, basically admitting that our young quarterback is talented, but he's immature, he doesn't prepare, we don't think he has the intangibles to be the face of the franchise, but we don't want to be in a position Dallas was in with Dak, where they didn't pay him, and then when they decided to pay him, they had to pay him even more. Is that what this is with the Cardinals? Just feeling like, I know there's some major question marks here, but if we wait 2 years to pay him, this number is going to be 8 to 10% higher. Is that what this ultimately is?
That's exactly what it is. And we're seeing the way the money and the way the contracts are working at the quarterback position, the way they accelerate with each new deal. The teams that move first end up looking better in the long run. I mean, we're already seeing. I remember the Patrick Mahomes deal when that came out. I was like, wow, this is an insane amount of money. That doesn't look too bad right now, given some of the other deals. Same with the Josh Allen deal. The teams that move early on this, they might pay a little bit more, and you might have a little bit more of sticker shock up front, but a year, 2 years, 3 years down the road, it feels a little bit better by comparison, because the next deal is bigger and the deal after that is bigger. So the teams that feel like, look, we don't have a choice, we've got to make a move on this, we've got to get this player signed to a long-term deal, those are the teams that feel better about it in the long run. And that's the situation Arizona was in. If they kicks this down the can a little bit longer, you're talking about, you know, another million, 2 million, 3 million a year when you get maybe a Lamar Jackson deal, when you get a Joe Burrow, a Justin Herbert deal. And so the teams that are in the situation to move early on it are in a much better situation. That's why I'm very curious to see how quickly do we see something done in Baltimore or Lamar Jackson. What about the Chargers and Herbert? What about the Bengals and Burrow? Their owner talked about it yesterday, say, look, we want to get something done with Joe Burrow. We want to keep him here for a long time. And then even, you know, down in Miami with Tua, do the Dolphins see enough this year to get a deal done? And so that's the way this works now. If you think you've got the guy, you lock him up sooner rather than later because of the cost involved by waiting a year or two.
Yeah, they continue to reset the standard, and not only in the contract itself, but the guaranteed money, obviously with what the Browns and Deshaun Watson have done, has made it so much harder for every other team in the league to get some of these deals coordinated. Turning the page from contracts, though, to another quarterback that is going to get traded, is going to get released. We don't really know, but I am a San Francisco 49ers fan, so I'm very curious your perspective on the Jimmy Garoppolo situation. What happens with him in or out of San Francisco? It's very clear that Trey Lance is the guy coming into this year. So what does that mean for Jimmy long-term and short-term?
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of the one quarterback bit of news, you know, non-suspension related with Watson, of course, that we're waiting on. And unfortunately, there is sort of a Watson tie here, right? Because you look around the league right now, that quarterback carousel became a musical chairs. It started to wind down. You know, maybe Seattle could be a landing spot. People have said perhaps Houston, although I think the Texans are willing to roll into the season with Davis Mills to give him one more year to show if he's the guy or not. I've heard Miami in recent weeks as a potential backup to Tua because he knows that Mike McDaniel offense, it would be an easy transition for him. But then, of course, there are the Cleveland Browns. And as I said earlier, you know, you have that suspension out there. We're waiting to get news on that. And it goes into their schedule because their first four games are very winnable games for the Cleveland Browns because they start off, obviously, they've got that game, the Carolina Panthers, and we've got the Baker Mayfield storyline. So that's going to be fun to watch. And then they've also got the Jets, the Steelers, and the Atlanta Falcons. So that's their first four games. So if it's a four-game suspension for Watson, they might feel they can roll with Jacoby Brissett. But then here's their next four guys. They get the Chargers, the Patriots, the Ravens, and the Bengals. Like, those are four much tougher games. And if that suspension gets into the sixth game, the eight-game window, and you're getting into that second stretch of four games, that might be a situation where the organization believes they have to bring in another quarterback because Jacoby Brissett might not be able to get it done. They can stay afloat if it's four. If it's longer than that, they might need to make a move, which gets you to Jimmy Garoppolo as a potential landing spot. The other team I've seen floated out there, the New York Giants, I'm not so much a believer in that scenario just because I think with Brian Daboll coming in, you know, a new general manager as well, they're going to give Daniel Jones that one shot, see if Daboll can fix him. If not, they're going to look to the 2023 quarterback class to see if they can get their next quarterback if Daniel Jones doesn't pan out this year.
Mark, we only have about a minute left. My question is from the Garoppolo side. I was under the understanding that they're not just looking for a trade destination, but they're looking for an extension as well. Have you heard that?
I've heard that too. And, you know, it's an interesting scenario because if you're thinking trade destination and extension, that really sort of cuts down the teams. It probably eliminates that sort of Brown scenario we just talked about where he would just be sort of one and done. Miami, you know, if he's going there to be a backup, probably not the sort of area where he'd get an extension. Maybe Houston, maybe Seattle, maybe, you know, that Giants situation, which I just talked about. If Daboll and their new general manager, Joe Shane, aren't sold on Jones, maybe that could be a landed spot. But that really sort of narrows the window, and it gives credence to the thought that the Niners have been trying to move him all along. They couldn't find a landed spot because of that sort of extension request. And they're telling his agents, look, you find a better deal because we certainly couldn't find one on the open market with that added bonus.
Mark, we are up against it. Could talk through these storylines all day. Really appreciate the insight.
Thanks so much, guys. Have a fantastic day.
You as well. That's Mark Schofield, NFL writer and analyst, USA Today. Really, really good insight as to what's going on in the NFL's quarterback carousel.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
The guy has an algorithm to determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it. Take it.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1.
You're up.
If someone gives you 10,000-1 odds on anything, you take it. All right, Sean, let's get to our in-pocket plays. I'm going to let you take the lead here because it's a very unique play that you have here on the board, and I love your mentality here.
Absolutely. Baseball is a game of runs. We had Clint Hurdle, former manager, on, and he was talking about the downturns, but the inverse of that is the upswings when teams are hot. And I'm on the Blue Jays. I'm backing the Blue Jays blindly until they lose. You go back prior to the All-Star break, they finished that up going 5-1. They just come off of sweeping the Red Sox. Now, the prices might get a little high, but parlay the ticket in that situation from game to game. I am on the Blue Jays. Hopefully they'll take me into the month of August and continue this glorious streak, because I think they're a team on the uptick, especially in the second half. They have a lot of the same similarities, in my opinion, as some of the teams that got hot post All-Star break last year, like the Braves and, you know, others. So I'm on the Blue Jays blindly. Don't ask me who's pitching. Don't ask me who's pitching against them. Don't ask me if they're at home or if they're away. I am on the Blue Jays until they lose.
Offensively, if they just have a quarter of the production they did against the Red Sox, they'll be in pretty good
and
shape.
You think? I mean, 20, what did they put up, 28 in a game?
28.
I mean, nice little four touchdowns. That'll do it.
I know you're not asking who's pitching, but it's Jose Berríos tonight. They're a big minus 220 favorite. So any interest in the run line or just money line and money line parlays here on out?
So I'm betting them straight up in every game. I'll small run line bet them sometimes. I generally don't run line bet teams that are at home because you never guarantee that you get all three outs in the ninth inning. You know, I think they're minus $2 a day, but you know, I'm parlaying money that I've won on them in the Red Sox series, so they were small favorites. You know, and I covered the run line in all three of those games. So, and we're playing with house money. I'm on the Blue Jays blindly until they lose.
I love it. My in-pocket plays, we referenced both of earlier in the program, but the Pittsburgh Steelers, I'm doing it. I'm going over those seven wins because without the tree that was Ben Roethlisberger last season on the field, I think that regardless of whoever ends up being the starting quarterback throughout the course of the season, could be two guys. You know, never know if Kenny Pickett squeezes in there. But regardless, I think it's going to be an upgrade at the position. Mike Tomlin is what I'm really betting on here, if we're honest, because he has never had a losing season. Even if they have won this year, you still go over that number. So do you know?
Can I say something, Stormy? This might be the most disrespectful win total in Vegas history.
Go on.
To have a guy in Mike Tomlin that's never had a losing season.
15 years.
And to have his win total three games under 500. This might be the most disrespectful win total Vegas has ever come up with.
You have to think about just the amount of talent, ability, and overall consistency on a year-in and year-out basis to overcome the deficiencies of rosters that he has had in the past to continue to be a 500 or better team. So that's what I'm betting on. I like the Steelers seven.
Great bet, Stormy.
And my long shot, Cam Rising, it's officially in the bet slip. 80-1 for the Heisman Trophy this year. And like our guy Roman Harper said earlier, it's a quarterback award. So if there is an opportunity from somebody outside the flock of those normal favorites on the board, give me the Utah Utes star quarterback who is a rising star in college football.
Okay, I see what you did
there. Who I feel very confident will make a name for himself right out the gate on national television week one against the Florida team in the swamp. So that's what I'm feeling.
So I call what you did an FG. FGB. It's a feel-good bet.
Yes.
Like, you're going to feel good at the end of this bet, but it's not going to cash.
So what you're telling me is I should... Well, yeah, we kind of joked about, like, you can have all the value in the world, but if it doesn't get there, who cares? So maybe I'll have to counter with a little just baby CJ Stroud bet.
It's really... Like, it's the gift and the curse. And I know you're very high on Utah as a team, too. And the reason that they're a great team is because of Kyle Whittingham and the job he does there. But the way that he plays offense, football is kind of conservative. He wants to be great on defense. I like Cam Rising. The program took off last year when they made him the starting quarterback and replaced Charlie Brewer. But I just don't know in an era where guys are throwing for basically 5,000 yards and 40-plus touchdowns, even if you put – prime Marcus Mariota as the Utah quarterback this year. I don't think he puts up those numbers just because of the system. So that's an FGB. I like it. It's a feel-good bet. You're going to feel really good because Cam's going to play good. Utah's going to be good.
The odds are going to shorten continuously throughout the course of the
season. You're
going
to be able to talk about it. Like, you got closing line value.
I'm just saying. I feel like if there's a team in the Pac-12 that has an opportunity to make the college football playoff, it is not USC. It is the Utah Utes. And I'm backing on their quarterback to elevate that squad, to get the yardage, to get the touchdowns. Let's go, Cam Rising. I feel it. I have all
the
good vibes.
I love you, Stormy. That ticket has no shot.
Oh, my gosh. Get over yourself. In Pocket, presented by Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. Check out their daily specials posted at noon Eastern on BetRivers.com. Now, to more pressing issues instead of you criticizing my wagers.
Oh, you
Something that Mark Schofield mentioned about the suspensions that we're dealing with the quarterbacks also applies to a very specific and important player on the Saints in Alvin Kamara. What was your biggest takeaway of the fact that he could go potentially all season without having a suspension for the Saints this year?
It was surprising because what I thought was the NFL would want to get this out of the way. But here's what, and you know, sometimes people say things and you don't look at the situation differently, but you look at it from a different perspective. And it seems as though as much as the NFL wants to be stringent on player conduct, what really gets under their skin is exposure to media criticism, i.e. the Deshaun Watson situation. They thought it had kind of died away by him not playing. And then all of a sudden, now it's at the forefront of everything, so they got to address it. The Alvin Kamara thing has really died away. Mm-hmm. Hadn't been like a national topic, not a lot of people talking about it. So I could see a situation where they try and kick that can down the road. Hopefully the court system handles it. They don't actually have to address it, you know, which is, I think, the path that they would rather go down. So it, for me, it's huge because I'm big on New Orleans and their chances this year to win the NFC right. South, to potentially be an NFC contender. I mean, the conference is down, especially at the top end, in my opinion. And not being sure of Kamara's suspension situation was one of the kind of hesitation points I had, because they're not great behind him right. at running back. So
having that piece is critical, and giving that multidimensionality to the offense. Kamara, for anybody that doesn't remember, was arrested in February, actually, here in following an incident in Vegas around the Pro Bowl. Felony battery charges, excuse me.
Yeah, they beat somebody up leaving the club.
Yeah, not an ideal situation. I know he does have a hearing that's scheduled for August 1 that has been pushed back twice. And according to ESPN, they say a very similar thing, just no firm timeline on a decision for discipline under the personal conduct policy. He should be available week one unless he's played on paid leave for the commissioner's exempt list. So all these different wrinkles right. to take into consideration. But, I mean,
that one goes away. Being here in Vegas, I have a great understanding and inner knowledge of what happened. And I could see that one being settled
okay.
before it gets to court and kind of just going away.
Like maybe it wasn't necessarily what it's been portrayed.
No, they beat him down.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I mean, oh. I think money could settle this.
All right. Yeah. Not that in all cases money means guilt, but in this right. case, it just could make it go like, away and get on with your life.
I'm not rich, but I have a lot of rich friends, so I hang around them. Like, you wouldn't believe the conversations of things that they settle yeah. just because they don't want to deal with the aggravation.
Yeah, the details of this that I read were not great.
Yeah, not at all.
This was, like I said earlier, this show absolutely flew by. We covered all of the bases.
Because you're
good
at your job. I mean, you had a great show outside of your Cameron Rising ticket, which has no shot.
See, it
is a feel-good bet.
I want to end a show on a good, high, positive note, and then you're coming at me hot again.
I have feel good bets.
It's like it's the Nets and Celtics from hour one, segment one, all over again.
I have feel good bets.
All right, give me one real quick.
I have a ticket on the Pelicans to be the NBA champion next year. It's a feel good bet. It's probably not going to happen, but I'll feel good if, you know, they make it to the second round of the Western Conference playoffs again. Like,
I didn't mean to like have that laugh be such a cackle.
I want to end the show on a great note, and you're laughing and criticizing my Pelicans bet.
We have absolutely zero fun on this program, as you can tell. Okay, well,
glad I'm back.
Yes, glad you're back too. Glad you're feeling better, feeling fresh. This was a lot of fun today. Mitch and Polly will be back next week, but you're stuck with me for the rest of the week. Sean will be back tomorrow. Dave Ross with us on Thursday and Friday. But that's a wrap today. We're going out with the Will Levis mayo in the coffee cup. That's what you're doing.
That's my quarterback.
After we leave, right? That's where you're going.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
It's brand new season 2. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Vilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.